Lecture topic, Hope and Fear, Part 2.
What is it? It doesn't for a moment mean commit zina and give a date. No, what it does mean is, what it means, إني إذا رضيت عن عبدي ملأتها بتمرة. Who knows, perhaps on that date, the regret in his heart, the guilt in his heart, the innocence that was enough to attract the mercy of Allah. Yesterday I read the narration, the quotation of one great tabi'i. He said, many a times Allah will reward you more on your intentions than your actions. And he said, the wisdom of that is, your action can be flavored with ulterior motives. Your intention cannot be flavored because it's only between you and Allah. So that has sincerity in it. And on that Allah will reward you. If I do an action, perhaps I want to impress people. I want to attract prominence. But when I make an intention between me and Allah, now it can only be sincere because it's between me and my Allah. And Allah knows with what sincerity I have made the intention, and upon that Allah will reward, provided obviously the intention is sincere. Imam Abu al-Qasim Qushayri rahmatullah alayhi makes mention in his kitab At-Tahbir fi al-Tadhkir that a person passed away. Someone seen him in a dream and he said, how did things unfold for you? He said, I appeared before Allah, my actions were put there, my evil were more than my good. خَلَتُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. And my evil actions were more severe than my good. So I realized, now obviously the decision of Jannat, now I'm just waiting, who will take me and how I will be driven to hell. Just then, a packet came and fell on my scale of good deeds, and because of that, it lifted the pan of good deeds, and things turned positively for me. So I was very curious, excited, anxious to see what's inside this packet. I opened and I peeped inside. I found it was a handful of sand which I had dropped in the grave of a Muslim brother when burying him. My brother, my message for you today is, there is hope for every sinner. And to you, my brother, if Allah has given you tawfiq to obey Him, for Allah's sake, stop advocating holier-than-thou attitudes. What I say is correct, what he says is incorrect. What you consume is forbidden, what I consume is permissible. I don't know what statement will jeopardize. What Ayub Sakhtiani said, rahimahullah, if you exercise abstinence and you tread cautiously, فَلَا يَجْعَلْ زُهْدَهُ هَذَا عَذَابًا عَلَى النَّاسِ, then don't impose your stringent abstinence on the average people. Don't in your private capacity abstain from everything, but don't impose it on the general people. My message is this, there's hope for the sinner, and if you are amongst, I'm definitely amongst the sinner, my brother, if you are amongst those who Allah has given ability, be grateful. But tread cautiously. Tread cautiously, my brother. Walk gently. I don't know where I slip, where you fall. How a sad a sight. I can understand a man is talking at the graveyard. One step lower, he answers his phone. And recently, I felt so humiliated. It was like a sword stabbed in my heart. I literally seen a man light a cigarette at the grave. I'm not talking of America and Asia or somewhere else. I'm talking at our local cemetery. I looked at the brother. There was contradiction of emotions in me. Do I muster the courage and hold him? Does he take offense? Does it become an altercation? Will people react differently? My brother, pause. Death. It's a silent advisor. When the body lies there, everybody is getting a message without speaking. I'm only looking and learning, provided I have eyes and ears. Inna fi dhalika la dhikra liman kana lahu qalbun. Inna fi dhalika la dhikra liman kana lahu qalbun. Aw alqa as-sam'a wa huwa shahid. So the point is, my brother, O Dawood, if I become happy with a person, then one date. Now again, look at the other side. And that's exactly what I'm saying. We just don't know. Muslim Sharif, Umar ibn Khattab is the narrator, the occasion of Khaybar. Sahaba are standing. Amongst those that are martyred, one was a person who also was the servant of Nabi alayhi salam. A stray arrow comes and hits him from the back, proves to be fatal, claims his life. Sahaba looking at all the deceased and they said, Fulanun Shaheedun, wa Fulanun Shaheedun, wa Fulanun Shaheedun. This man, he's in paradise, he's a martyr. This man, he's in paradise, he's a martyr. Hatta marru ala rajulin, they passed by one person, this man, who got a stray arrow, hit his back, claimed his life. They said, he also is a martyr. Nabi alayhi salam said, Kalla inni ra'aytuhu finnar fi burdatin ghallaha. No, no, he has died as a martyr, but once he had taken a shawl from the spoils of the war, which was not allotted to him, tragically this has suspended his entry into paradise, and his martyrdom is under scrutiny. Oh my Allah, you are with Allah's Nabi, and you are favored with apparent martyrdom. And the narration of Muslim, Nabi alayhi salam says, no, no, hold your tongues. Don't be so generous in dishing out Jannat. There is a bit of a contrary angle to it. Apparently the gentleman had taken something that wasn't his, and things have turned differently because of that. My brother, who can advocate this holier than thou? Tirmizi Sharif, Sahaba are sitting. One man passes away. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ أَبْشِرْ بِالْجَنَّةِ Someone said, my brother, you through, you made it, you're in paradise. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, no. أَوَلَا تَدْرِيفَ لَعَلَّهُ تَكَلَّمَ بِمَا لَا يَعْنِي أَوْ بَخَلَ عَمَّا لَا يُغْنِي. Perhaps in his life he uttered a statement which did not concern him, or he withheld funds which he was supposed to spend, and this might bring a negative spin to his entry. عُذِّبَتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ فِي هِرَّةٍ رَبَتَتْهَا. One woman, her entry into Jannah was suspended because she was cruel to one cat. حَبَسَتْهَا. She denied the animal freedom. تَأْكُلْ مِنْ خَشَاشِ الْأَرْضِ. Because of that, things went wrong, and unfortunately she was entered into hell. And we know the very famous hadith of the reverse, بَغِيُّمْ, that there was an immoral woman from Bani Israel that seen a dog that was thirsty, and she provided water for this dog, and she said that this dog is thirsty, and on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave and Allah pardoned her. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Sahaba said, Alana fil baha'imi ajr. O Nabi of Allah, if this woman was pardoned because of the dog, and that woman was subjected to punishment because of the cat, does it mean when Allah will reward or punish us, Allah will narrow it down to our treatment with animals also? I can understand Allah will judge us and measure us against how we interact amongst ourselves. But will Allah narrow it down to how we deal with animals? If we are kind to animals, Alana fil baha'imi ajr. He said, of course, feed any living creature and Allah will give you jannat. Nabi alayhi salam said, a person worships Allah for 60 years. For 60 years. Everything is correct. Before death, he writes an un-Islamic will and he destroys all his ibadat and ends up in hell. He obeys Allah his whole life, and then it comes to the execution of his will. This critical moment, you came to the tail end, my brother. You break in your fast before Maghrib. You are breaking your fast before Maghrib. His finances were Sharia compliant. His hajj was correct. His ibadat was correct. The last thing in his life was he needed to sort out his will Islamically. Yeah, he made it un-Islamic. Nabi alayhi salam says because of that, his ibadat is null and void and he enters into hell. Ibn Qudama rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of an incident in Kitab al-Tawwabin. When Allah wants to pardon, sometimes it's not even a date, my brother, it's a gesture. You know, we see, as a parent, you will know, sometimes a child gives you a great gift or someone else gives you a great gift. And sometimes it's a very sensitive, it's a very fragile time. And one son perhaps just says a kind word. But the timing was so accurate and the moment was so sensitive. The gift might be trivial, but the approach was so sincere. The moment was so opportune. And there the hearts pours out dua. And there the heart pours out dua. Ibn Qudama's narration, كان في بني إسرائيل شاب musrifun ala nafsi. In Bani Israel, there was a youngster who had disobeyed Allah. He had committed all wrongs. To such an extent, أَخْرَجُوهُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ لِسُوءِ فِعْلِهِ. People were compelled to expel him from society due to the contagious nature of his vices. So it was not restricted to himself, but it had a negative influence on people around him, like we've seen today with drugs, where it's actually been promoted and it's destroying our society. I cannot tell you how many mothers have cried to me on the phone that I value, respect and revere like my own mother. And I say, Ya Allah, pity the tears of this mother and give a jerk to that young boy and return him safe and sound. So he compelled the community to expel him. And he was then banished to an isolated place. فَلَمَّا حَضَرَتْهُ الْوَفَاتُ. But when he passed away, Allah sent wahi to Musa alayhi salam, إِنَّ وَلِيًّا مِّنْ أَوْلِيَائِي حَضَرَتْهُ الْوَفَاتُ. Musa, one of my very close friends have passed away. I instruct you, attend the funeral. You with your hands will be given ghusl. You will be leading the prayer and you will be lowering him into the grave. Ibn Qudama's narration. Open the book, Kitab al-Tawabin. Allah said, attend the funeral, ghassilhu, give him ghusl. Salli alayhi, perform salah on him. وَحْمِلْهُ إِلَيَّ لِأُكْرِمْ مَثْوَاهُ, and hasten to bring him to me. I personally want to receive him. And that's not all, Musa. وَقُلْ لِمَنْ كَثُرَ عِصْيَانُ يَحْذُرُ جَنَازَتَهُ لِأَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. Musa, make a public announcement. Whoever has sins, they must attend the funeral. They also will be forgiven. Read our deen, my brother. Stop reading this pornography. Stop listening to this filth. If I'm a young brother, take me like a young brother that is speaking. If you're elder than me, then take me as a young son imploring you. For Allah's sake, change the priorities of your life. I read this, I cried. I said, my Allah, how forgiving you are. وَقُلْ لِمَنْ كَثُرَ عِصْيَانُهُ يَحْذُرُ جَنَازَتَهُ. Those who have committed wrong, tell them to come. I will also forgive them. When Musa made this announcement, was the place overflowing? Who doesn't? إِن تَغْفِرْ تَغْفِرِ اللَّهُمَّ جَمَّا وَأَيُّ عَبْدٍ لَكَ لَا أَلِمَّا. My Allah, I'm asking you, if you forgive, forgive all. Show me that servant of yours that hasn't sinned, my Allah. إِن تَغْفِرْ تَغْفِرِ اللَّهُمَّ جَمَّا وَأَيُّ عَبْدٍ لَكَ لَا أَلِمَّا. Anyway, people come out in droves, in scores, in multitudes. And when they pitch up, you know, people are explicit and they say it as it is. They say, Musa, هَذَا هُوَ الْفَاسِقُ الَّذِي أَخْرَجْنَاهُ. What do you mean, Allah's friend and Allah will forgive us? This is the very wicked, nasty, evil man that we had expelled from society. So Musa alayhi salam, now, you know what? Is there a misunderstanding? You know, nowadays they use the wrong ID also. So obviously, when it comes to Allah, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا لَا يَظِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. Allah doesn't make a mistake. لَا يَظِلُّ رَبِّي. My Allah doesn't make an error. وَلَا يَنْسَى. My Allah doesn't make a mistake. So Musa said, oh my Allah, this is what you said, but your servants are saying something else. Allah said, صَدَقُوا وَهُمْ شُهَدَاءِ. Musa, they are accurate in what they said, but you know what? He attracted my mercy minutes before he died and I forgave him. Minutes! I'm saying, my brother, I don't know. And that tells me of another thing. Another very severe wrong is where we start taunting people. In our very era, we have seen Allah has taken people out of clubs and pubs and put them on these minbars. We have seen people who are celebrities in the music world, Allah has put them here. Allah can equally take people from this minbar and put them in those pubs. Allah save us. Yesterday I read the quotation of one tabi'i. He said, عَيَّرْتُ رَجُلًا بِالْفَقْرِ فَافْتَقَرْتُ بَعْدَ 40 سَنَةً. I taunted one man. And I said, you're so poor, you got nothing. He said, that statement bounced back on me 40 years. My whole progeny became poor. My brother, it will hit hard. For Allah's sake, stop commenting and judging this one's son and that one's son. You have children, you have grandchildren, I have children. What can we speak? Who can speak? إلا أنه لما حضرته الوفاة موسى, just before death, listen to this. رأى نفسه ذليلة وحيدة. He looked at himself, humble, humiliated. He looked, there was nobody around him. رفع بصره إلى السماء. He lifted his gaze to the heavens. نظر يمنا ويسرة فلم ير حميما ولا قريبا. He was banished from before. Now it was the critical moment of death. He looked around, perhaps a wayfarer or a traveler. Perhaps a person passing by would just help me breathe my last. But nobody came close. So he lifted his hands to the heavens. He said, Oh my Allah, abduka min ibadik gharibun fi biladik. Oh my Allah, they have deserted me. You don't desert me. Oh my Allah, they have deserted me. They have launched me. They have ditched me. My Allah, you don't leave me. Allah be my witness. Sometimes I pass these homeless people. And there's one particular man who, you know what, makes end meet. Sometimes he's pulling something from here and pulling something. You draw close to him, there's a foul stench that emits from him. You see him, he looks unpleasant. But when I read this and I look, I said, Ya Allah, I don't know how this man will go and I don't know where I will go. Musa, he looked around, he seen no one. Then he looked to me. Musa, you tell me, how could I leave him? Musa, you tell me. And these were his words. He said, Ya Rabbi, لو علمت أن عذابي يزيد في ملكك وعفوك مني ينقص من ملكك لما سألتك المغفرة. Oh my Allah, if I knew by you forgiving me, it's going to drop your greatness. And by you punishing me, it's going to elevate your grandeur. Then I wouldn't have mastered the courage to ask you for forgiveness. But I know otherwise. I know if you forgive me, it's not going to drop your greatness. And if you punish me, oh my Allah, it's not going to elevate your profile. You're at the pinnacle of perfection. وَلَيْسَ لِي مَلْجَأَ وَلَا رَجَاءَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. My Allah, there is nobody but you. وَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ فِي مَا أَنْزَلْتَ إِنَّكَ قُلْتَ إِنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. My Allah, I'm a beggar. Society shunned me. But the one, two things I remember that I learned in my life that someone taught me, and that's the only thing that stuck with me, and that is you are very kind. Allah, that's about all what I know about you. I don't have any other knowledge about you. فَلَا تُخَيِّبَ رَجَائِي فِيهِ. My Allah, my only hope in this last moment is don't drop me and desert me. So Allah then told Musa, أَفَكَانَ يُحْسِنُ بِي أَنْ أَرُدَّهُ وَهُوَ غَرِيبٌ فِي هَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ. Oh Musa, you tell me when he cried out to me like this, that would melt the heart of a hardest man. You are talking of Allah who is أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Musa, my mercy came in motion. Musa, my pardon came in action. وَعِزَّتِي لَوْ سَعَلَنِي فِي الْمُذْنِبِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ لِذُلِّ غُرْبَتِهِ. Musa, it was a moment I was going to grant him any request. If he had to extend his request and say, My Lord, forgive everyone on planet Earth, it was a done deal. Musa, it was a done deal. Again, I'm saying, my brother, remember my opening remarks, striking the balance, hope and fear. Remember my remarks, my brother, I don't know where things are going to change. What's going to happen for which one of us? Hakim's narration, when Allah wants to give, Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says, I went to visit Umar ibn Khattab, wa huwa muttaki'un ala wisada. He was reclining, on a cushion. فَأَلْقَاهَا إِلَيَّ. He presented the cushion to me. So I said, صَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ. Allah and His Nabi has spoken the truth. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, حَدِّثْنَا يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. Oh, Salman, you say Allah and His Nabi spoke the truth. What do you mean? He said, I went to visit Nabi alayhi salam one day. How fortunate that the point of reference is, you know, you remind me once when I went to see Nabi alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. How rich their lives were. How wholesome. If only today we can, as Maulana indicated, we can associate ourselves with the scholars. There is a deliberate campaign. There is a deliberate campaign to disassociate the masses from the scholars. And this is our biggest downfall. Hold a scholar, respect and revere him, honor and follow him, and inshallah you will be led to the correct path. Like we say, when you need to do a transfusion, you got to look for a common blood group. I'm not saying you don't just go take any blood, you just don't go accept anyone's kidney. So much thorough research has to be, there has to be compatibility, because that's a foreign organ coming into your body. So we've got to match compatibilities on so many fronts. I'm saying, my brother, go and match your iman, match your blood group with the correct scholar. And when everything blends, then put your hand in his hands. We're not saying make blind choices. Make conscious choices. So he said, I went to Nabi alayhi salam, and Nabi alayhi salam took his cushion and he gave it to me. So I felt uncomfortable. I said, oh Nabi of Allah, it's okay. He said, listen, Salman, ma min muslimin yadkhulu ala akhihi al-muslim fayulqi lahu wisadatan ikraman lahu illa ghafar Allahu lahu. You know, when a Muslim brother goes to visit another Muslim brother, and as a gesture you vacate your location, or you give the man your seat, or you give him your cushion, on that action of hospitality, Allah forgives all your sins. Allah forgives all your sins. Understand, Ibn Atiyah's narration. Ibn Atiyah's narration. A person passed away in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. So someone made the remark, لا تصلي عليه يا رسول الله هو رجل فاجر. There is one narrator in the chain of narration that Imam Zahabi has proven to be weak, Muhammad ibn Ibrahim. But nonetheless, the narration has been mentioned. ضعفه الذهبي. Somebody made the remark, O Nabi of Allah, accept my opinion, don't perform his salah, the man is evil. So Nabi alayhi salam said, okay. هل رآه أحد منكم على عمل من أعمال الخير. All those that were present at the funeral, Nabi Sassam said, can any one of you here recall that the deceased had performed any good action in his life? So one person came to look at the face, looked at him correctly, said, O Nabi of Allah, I've got a memory with the deceased now. We've got something common together. Nabi Sassam said, what is it, brother? He said, حَرَسْتُ لَيْلَةً مَعَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. One night myself and the deceased, I have identified him correctly. We were out in the path of Allah, and there was a call for someone to stand on duty, someone to stand on security. Like from time to time, we are asked on the occasion of an ijtima to spare one night and to safeguard the belongings and the equipment at the ijtima. So I offered my skills, and it was the deceased as well. Commonly we shared the night safeguarding the belongings. Nabi Sassam said, are you sure it's him? He said, yes, O Nabi of Allah, I can identify. Nabi Sassam said, okay, that's enough. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then lowered him into the grave. Qama Rasulullah sallam wa man ma'ahu min ashabi. And the sahaba that were present, they also stood up. Thumma hatha alayhi at-turab. Then Nabi sallam took with his blessed hands and he sprinkled sand over the deceased. And then he made a profound proclamation. He said, Rufaqa'uka yadhunnuna annaka min ahli an-nar wa ana ashhadu annaka min ahli al-jannah. He addressed the deceased and he said, some of you have the opinion, addressing the deceased, some of your companions have the opinion that you are destined for hell. I don't know what is the basis of that conclusion, but take it from me, Jannat is yours. Take it from me, Jannat is yours. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Your companions have the perception and the opinion, رُفَقَاءُكَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. But take it from me, Jannat is yours. So again, which act of kindness? This is only in the knowledge of Allah. Ibn Abi Dunya has made mention of a narration. which is mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba. Brothers, I strongly exhort you to read Hayatul Sahaba. It's an amazing kitab. Many times people ask me, where did you research this? Where did you find this point? And I tell him, open Hayatul Sahaba, this chapter. And he says, you know, it never crossed my mind. So you can imagine in the mall. So anyway, while people were shopping in the marketplace, these two people met. So one said to the other, Ta'al nastaghfiru Allah fi ghaflatin nas. Look here, they indulge in shopping. Some people are indulging in immorality. Let's spare a minute together and speak about Allah. Let's spare a minute and speak about Allah. So while some were shopping, some were buying, some were involved in commerce and trade, they started speaking about Allah. And that was about it. Imagine if we meet at an airport and you can understand the environment of an airport, how it takes a person away from Allah. Each man is in his own mind and thoughts, catching his flight, immorality, etc. that is prevalent there. And we spare a minute to speak about Allah. Anyway, the one passed away. So the latter seen the former in a dream and he said, how did things happen for you when you passed away? He said, عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفَرَ لَنَا عَشِيَّةَ إِلْتَقَيْنَا فِي السُّوقِ. You know that one day I met you in the mall, I bumped into you, and then you told me, let's speak about Allah. On that action, Allah forgave me. On that action, Allah forgave me. Abdullah ibn Mubarak has mentioned in his kitab, under the chapter of Al-Birr, under the chapter of Birr, that عَبَدَ اللَّهَ رَجُلٌ سَبْعِينَ سَنَى. A person worshipped Allah for 70 years. ثُمَّ أَصَابَ فَاحِشَ. Then he committed an act of zina and immorality. فَأَحْبَتَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَهُ. Allah destroyed all the worship of 70 years. Thereafter the man became sick and paralyzed. So one day while he was paralyzed sitting, he seen another man distributing meat and food. He was distributing some bread. This man had nothing of his own. He said, can I give you a hand and just help you distribute also? So he said, by all means. So this man took the bread of another man and gave it to a beggar. Allah loved that action. Allah forgave him and restored the ibadat of 70 years. Allah restored the ibadat of 70 years. Now again, the other side, you know, my brother, amongst those that are not pardoned on this night is a man who drops his trouser below his ankle. This is again on those that, what can this do to me? Read the fatal illness of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. It's a chapter of its own. Umar, when he was leading the Fajr Salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, he was reading Surah Yusuf. Abu Lu'lu' Majusi, the slave of Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, advanced through Masjid al-Nabawi, came through all the serfs, and then with the dagger he stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar previously had seen a dream. He said, he seen a dream, نَقَرَهُ نَقْرَةً, that a fowl had pecked him twice. Umar radiallahu anhu seen that a fowl had come and pecked him. So he was very disturbed about this dream. He went to Asma bint Umays. Imagine how great this woman was, that the Amirul Mu'mineen is going to a woman to ask the interpretation of the dream. This is Women's Day, my sister. This is your icon and your models who you ought to revere and respect. So Asma radiallahu anha said that a disbeliever will be responsible for your assassination. A disbeliever will be responsible for your assassination. Anyway, what was to happen, what happened, the dream was quite an explicit indication and he got the interpretation. So Abu Lu'lu Majusi came, struck him. He was then taken aside. And he was obviously now bleeding and he was not well. A young boy comes to him. Umar is in the fatal illness. He's about to pass away. The riwayat of Bukhari, he asked, Hal salla al-muslimun al-fajra? The Fajr Salah, which was abruptly terminated due to my condition, tell me, did the congregation complete that Fajr Salah? Tell me, did the congregation complete that salah? Because, I mean, that is, we have to answer to Allah. We have to answer to Allah. In Sharh Aqaid, I read in the footnotes myself. In Sharh Aqaid, it's mentioned that when a Nabi passes away, what question is asked to a Nabi in the grave? You cannot ask the Nabi, who is your Nabi? He was the Nabi. Who is your Allah? He's the one who introduced Allah. a Nabi is asked, this is mentioned in the footnotes of Sharia Qaid, Allama Nasafi rahimahumullah. A Nabi is asked, in what condition did you leave your ummah and come? In what condition did you leave your ummah and come? So as this boy is coming to Sayyidina Umar, he's about to pass away, and Umar then speaks to his son Abdullah ibn Umar, that go and speak to Aisha radiallahu anha, if she allows and gives permission, then I would love to be buried along Nabi alayhi salam and Abu Bakr, but if she declines, it's her personal right and prerogative, and then you can bury me somewhere in Jannatul Baqi. So this is the discussion. And this boy is walking, a young boy, and his trouser is dangling below his ankle. Now appreciate the sensitivity of the moment, it's the man's last moments. Umar said, my young boy, irfa izarak, fa innahu anqa li thawbik wa atqa li rabbik. Do me a favor, lift your trouser above your ankle. That reflects more piety to your creator, and that will be more pure for your dressing as well. The last words of Umar radiallahu anhu. The last words of Umar radiallahu anhu. The only person that we can say with safety did not have pride was Nabi alayhi salam. He's the only human we can say 100%. Yet not once in his entire life he kept his trouser below his ankle. Not once in his entire life he kept his trouser below his ankle. Very often people counter this by the hadith where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to Nabi alayhi salam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I have a problem. My trouser tends to fall below my ankle. We obviously refer in to a flowing garment, a upper garment, and not socks or anything else, but rather anything worn from the top should not go below the ankle. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, I try, but my trouser tends to fall down. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exempted him and said, Abu Bakr, you are not the person who does it with pride. You are not the person who does it with pride. That's a clear hadith, and we don't want to mince our words. We're explicit about it. It's found in the narrations. Many people latch onto concession and deduce it from this hadith. But just look at the irony of the deduction. Look at the irony. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling Abu Bakr, you don't have pride. I am saying, I don't have pride. Is that not pride, my brother? Abu Bakr didn't tell himself. Abu Bakr didn't arrive at the conclusion. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abu Bakr, for you, I am saying you don't have pride. So that was divine exemption. That was official recognition. That was a certificate from Allah. I say to myself that I don't have pride. That is enough reflection of pride. And there is no difference between salah and outside salah. Ma asfala min al-ka'bayn fa finnar. That which is below the ankle is destined for hell. The narration of Tirmizi, waylul lil aqabi min an-nar. Woe be to the heels of hell. The heels of hell. My brother, you are very particular about your heels, you know. You have these cracks. I remember when we were studying in madrasa, and as you start getting to your fourth year, fifth year, where you now start spreading your wings to get married, so then you see the students now start trimming themselves. And in the night after you finish your kitabs and you've seen him, he's really, you know, manicure and he's really doing himself. I mean, you can understand in the madrasa life how, you know, rough it is and robust. And then suddenly you get very particular. I told the brother, wear socks when you propose, man. When you're married, then one day you take off your socks, it's a done deal. There's no option of cancellation or anything. You are worried of your heels, Tirmizi says, waylul lil aqabi min an-nar. Woe be to the heels of hell. What is those heels? That are not washed adequately in wudu. That hell's become, so Nabi, now because of the heels are not washed, the foot is not washed, the faraz is omitted, the salah is incorrect. So Nabi alayhi salam said, waylul lil aqabi min an-nar. In the very same way, the ankle, beneath which the trouser dangles, that is destined for hell. A simple, or rather an apparently simple thing, but the consequences are devastating. Amongst those that are deprived of forgiveness today, and that is a sore point, and that is disobedience to parents. That is a sore point. That's a chapter of its own. It will run into hours. But nonetheless, I share with you a few things. Imam Bukhari has made mention in Adabul Mufrid. That a person came to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and he said, "Inni khatabtu imra'atan. I proposed to a girl. فأبت أن تنكحني. So she declined my proposal. فخطبها غيري. So someone else proposed to her. فأحبت أن تنكحه. So this woman accepted the latter proposal but declined my proposal. فغرت عليها. I became jealous about it because I was infatuated over her. فقبلتها, and I fell upon her, and I couldn't imagine that somebody else is going to have her, and I kissed her. فهلي من توبة. But obviously I regret what I have done, because if she declined, that means she is not meant for me and Allah has kept her for someone else. فهلي من توبة, is there any hope for me? So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, alaka ummun, is your mother alive? He said, no, my mother is late. He said, okay, you know what? You've done a wrong. You've kissed a woman. Tub ila Allahi wa taqarrab ilayhi mastata'ta. Go repent to Allah and see how you can atone for your wrong and patch up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Asakir, who is the narrator of the hadith, he said, I was curious to say, why is Abdullah ibn Abbas asking him about his mother? So when the gentleman excused himself, I went to Abdullah ibn Abbas and I said, lima sa'altahu an hayati ummihi? If you don't take offense to what I asked, oh, Abdullah ibn Abbas. But why did you ask the man if his mother was alive or not? Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the answer is very simple. لِأَنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ عَمَلًا أَقْرَبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ بِرِّ الْوَالِدَ. Because I don't know in the entire deen of any action that can secure the happiness of Allah so instantly like serving your mother. I don't know of any action in deen. You're not speaking to an ordinary man. You're speaking to Habrul Ummah. You're speaking to the father of tafsir. You're speaking to a giant of knowledge. Someone came to Umar radiallahu anhu, asabtu dhanban aziman. I've committed a major crime. Umar radiallahu anhu said, your mother is alive. Honestly, brothers, I read. While we know minor sins are forgiven through many things, but major sins, a person has to repent. But there's one action that I've come across the quotation of many a people. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi used to say this, that kindness to your parents will also forgive major sins. Provided it's not between you and humans, obviously between you and Allah. Whatever is between you and humans, that you have to atone for and address it in the adequate way. Asabtu dhanban aziman, I've committed a major sin. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, your mother alive? He said, no, my mother is late. Your father alive? He said, yes. He said, okay, go serve your father. Birrahu wa ahsin ilayhi. As he started walking, Umar radiallahu anhu said, لو كانت أمه حيّة فبرها وأحسن إليها لرجوت ألا تطعمه النار أبدا. I don't know what is the wrong the man did, but if he walked out of here serving his mother, take it from me, even the smoke of hell would have never touched him if he served his mother diligently. Now my cry is, the very source which is the means of atoning and expiating our wrong has become our offense because we disobey our parents. So the source where I can score, where I can earn, where I can capitalize, where I can multiply, upon that I'm falling the hardest. Hakim makes mention of a narration, and Ibn Hajar sahahahu Ibn Hajar fil Isaba. Hakim's narration, Nabi alayhi salam said, Nabi alayhi salam said, Nimtu, I fell off to sleep, fara'aytuni fil Jannah. In my sleep, I seen myself in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And this was the sleep of a Nabi. We know that when a Nabi sleeps, his wudu, his ablution is not nullified. Because even in his sleep, he receives revelation. And revelation only comes in the state of purity. So the sleep of a Nabi does not nullify his wudu. So in my sleep, I seen myself in Jannah. فَسَمِعْتُ قَارِئًا يَقْرَى. While I'm in Jannah, I heard one qari. Hakim makes mention of the narration, completely authentic. In Jannah, I heard one qari reciting Quran in a melodious voice. Allahu Akbar. So I inquired from the malaika, whose voice am I listening to? They said, O Nabi of Allah, this is your companion, Haritha ibn Nu'man. He's reading in Medina, but you will listen to him in Jannah. So Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, why Haritha out of others? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. Because of the loyalty and the obedience to his mother, Allah gave him this honor. He's that only sahabi that reads Quran on earth and it's heard by his Nabi in Jannah. كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. Ibn Abi Dunya makes mention in Kitab al-Akhlaq. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rajulani min ashabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were two sahaba that stood out as the most devoted children to their mothers. One was Uthman ibn Affan and one was Haritha ibn Nu'man. These were the two sahaba who stood out. With regards to Haritha, because of his diligence in addition to the fact that his Quran was heard in the heavens, in Medina, he was the neighbor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine, you're the neighbor in Medina and your Quran is heard in Jannat. This privilege Allah gave him because of his kindness to his mother. وَكَانَ لِحَارِثَ إِبْنِ نُعْمَانِ بَيْتٌ بَيْنَ بُيُوتِ النِّسَى. His house was in between the houses of Nabi alayhi salam. كُلَّمَا تَزَوَّجَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam انْتَقَلَ حَارِثَ. Whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married, then Haritha, out of his goodwill, would vacate his house and occupy the adjacent house so that the honorable consorts of Nabi alayhi salam could be staying together. Look at the respect. Look at the respect. For the pleasure of Nabi alayhi salam. He also had a wife and he also had to rearrange. You ask woman to move or change something, you'll know what it is. Sometimes to rearrange one thing and you can see what happens. Every time Nabi alayhi salam got married, he vacated his house. I said, oh, Nabi of Allah, I'll take the adjacent, so at least your spouses are together. What is this? Subhanallah. Allah gave him the neighborhood of Nabi alayhi salam in this world, and his Quran was heard in Jannat. Haritha ibn Nu'man, Aisha radiallahu anha, Kitab al-Akhlaq ibn Abi Dunya. Amma Haritha, fakana yafli ra'sa ummihi. She says, I know consciously of Haritha. He would sit daily by his mother, comb her hair, and remove the lice from the hair of his mother. وَيُطْعِمُهَا بِيَدِهِ. He would cook the meal, and then muscle by muscle, he would feed his mother daily. Notwithstanding the fact that he is the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. وَكُلَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah is quite explicit that all the sahaba, Allah has decreed nobility for them. كَانَ يُطْعِمُهَا بِيَدِهِ. Read the narration, I read it myself consciously. وَلَمْ يَسْتَفْهَمْهَا كَلَامًا قَتُّ تَعْمُرُ بِهِ. And in his entire life, he never questioned his mother once on what she told him. To the extent the narration goes on to say, when many a times his mother told him something and he did not understand it, then he would wait, and when his mother was gone, he would ask those present, what did my mother say? I did not ask her out of fear of disrespect. Maymoon Azdi rahmatullah alayhi says, I will end on this narration, when Musa alayhi salatu wassalam went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mount Tur, and then Allah cast his tajalli and his countenance. So in that flesh of countenance, Musa alayhi salam seen one person by the throne of Allah. فَغَبِطَهُ بِمَكَانِهِ. So Musa alayhi salam envied this person. He said, oh my Allah, who is this man at your throne who enjoys such proximity? Obviously Allah is free from position and location. بِلَا تَشْبِيهِ كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِشَأْنِهِ. As it befits the majesty of Allah. So Allah said, oh Musa, I won't tell you who he is, but I will tell you what privileged him with this position. Three qualities. Number one, لا يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله. He never harbored jealousy in his heart. Number two, لا يعق والديه. He never disobeyed his parents. And number three, لا يمشي بالنميمة. He never carried tales. Brothers, on that note, we know amongst those people that are deprived also today is a person who harbors ill in his heart. Who harbors jealousy in his heart. How simple yet difficult. How simple yet difficult. You know, I read an amazing saying the other day that sometimes it's very difficult to smile because the journey between your emotions and your lips is a very long journey. Sometimes it's very difficult to smile. You are so caught up. Although physically it's so close, but emotionally it's so far. Emotionally it's so far. Some actions are so simple, yet unfortunately we do not perform it. Nabi alayhi salam said to Anas, "In istata'ta an tusbih, in istata'ta an tumsi wa tusbih, wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin min al-muslimin fa'fal." Oh Anas, if you can monitor your heart. We started on the medical viruses and the spiritual viruses. We conclude on that same note. As we monitor our blood pressure and we monitor our sugar and we monitor everything else. Anas, monitor your heart. And if you can see it doesn't harbor malice or jealousy for anyone, then I promise you, Anas, consider that a great achievement. You have revived one of my noble practices. And if you have done that, أحبني, you love me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ And he who loves me will be with me in paradise. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He instill, he inspire, and he infuse within us the ability to do every act of good and to abstain from every act of evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to value the remaining days of this blessed month. Many of the brothers will be fasting tomorrow. May Allah accept the fast of those who fasted today, those who will fast tomorrow, and in the remaining days, and obviously in the great month of Ramadan. Allah inspire us to maximize from these great days, and may He make us amongst those that are forgiven and those that are pardoned on this blessed night. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم إنا نسألك بأسمائك الحسنى وصفاتك العلى واسمك الأعظم أن تغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم لا تردنا خائبين ولا عن بابك مطرودين اللهم اجعلنا نخشاك كأننا نراك وأسعدنا بتقواك ومتعنا برؤياك واجمعنا مع نبيك ومصطفاك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا وحوضه لنا موردا رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.